living from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all get more. We are powerful women.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Authenticity Summit. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this event, and as you've been hearing me say during this whole summit, I truly am honored to be able to speak with these amazing women who are the co-authors of the book, The Beauty of Authenticity. They are here for you. They're giving them their time for you. They're giving their energy. They're sharing their stories and life lessons for you so you can have more ease and grace and peace and joy on your own journey of authenticity. You know, these women have lived a lot of life. They have been through some stuff, and they are now passionate and on purpose with living their lives, you know, from who they are, really, truly, authentically. And so they're here for you. So I'm so happy that you are here listening to this right now. And I'm really excited today to be talking with Lisa Pizek. She's really one of these incredible women, and I'm excited for you to meet her. So I'm just going to jump right in, introduce her, and then we'll start talking with Lisa. Lisa Pizek is a registered nurse, business strategist, Thrive Global author, and worldwide speaker who studied under thought leaders Brendon Burchard, Bo Eason, and Roger Love. Lisa's unique systems and strategies help her clients take their business online, connect with their target audiences, and convert leads into sales fast. Her podcast, The Lisa Pizek Show, exceeds the industry standard, and she's spoken about online business in the U.S., U.K., and Canada. Audiences say Lisa has fiery inspiration, contagious energy, and to-the-point strategies. Her first book, Break the Mold, is featured in Chapters Bookstore. Lisa lives in Toronto with her husband, Eric, their son, Oliver, and three kitties. And Lisa, I'm so happy to talk with you today. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm so honored and excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is great. I love this. And I'm excited for our talk today because what you're talking about, this topic says, don't wait for the crash. Stop the critic now. And I know the people that are listening are thinking, oh boy, the crash, we know it comes sometimes. And that critic, boy, that was, many of us have an ever-present critic, either it's ourselves or someone else maybe. So I'm so excited for you to be talking about that. But before we get started really specifically with that, let's talk about you. What personal roadblocks have you had to overcome?
Growing up, I heard a lot of directives from specifically my mom. And, you know, I believe she was well-intentioned. I believe she wanted what's best for me. But she really told me, with no choice, the men I was going to date, the friends I was going to have, where I was going to go to college, you know, what career and what path I was going to take in life. And what happened is it made me become this people pleaser and just lost. When I got into adulthood and married with a child and a successful career, and on paper it looked like everything was perfect. But the reality was, most days I was frustrated, I was overwhelmed, I was almost resentful and angry with my life instead of being happy and having gratitude with what I have, because I didn't feel like it was the path that I wanted to take, and I didn't feel like I had a lot of choice. And it took one day where I was receiving text messages from my mom, because I had chosen to now go in my own direction, become an entrepreneur, start these other passion projects in my life. And I received a lot of backlash from her. That's what I write about in the book. And I was so upset from those text messages. I was so distracted that I put the car in drive with the tears coming down, my face red. And just as I looked up, I slammed on that brake because something in my gut said, whoa, stop, and a transport truck almost wiped me out. And that was the almost crash that made me realize I can't allow someone who's going to dictate what I do in my life. I can't allow that anymore. And someone that lashes out because of mental health when I don't follow the path that they set out for me, that I had to start living my own life. And that was the only way that I was going to have true happiness.
talk about roadblocks, that's a big one. And a lot of people have that, I think. I mean, obviously our parents have a huge influence on us as we're growing up, and it stays with us so often into adulthood. And, you know, if we allow it to, it can control our lives. So it's that was quite a wake-up call for you is what I will say. That's great. You know, Lisa, I think that a lot of people think that we have this one purpose or mission in life. Do you think that everybody has that, and do you think we're born with it, or do you think we develop it or create it? What do you think that's about?
That's such a great question. I do believe that we all absolutely have a purpose, and sometimes it's not at all what we think is going to be what it is in our life. And I think the first thing is really just being open to what comes up for you as you start to kind of ask yourself those simple questions like, what does make me happy? How do I really feel about myself? And those were kind of the questions after that near miss. Those were kind of the questions that I started to ask myself, like, what does make me happy? What would get me out of bed in the morning excited about life outside of my husband and my son? What do I want to be doing? What does the best day ever look like for me? And allowing myself to dream, you know, without judgment, because that's what I'd experienced my whole life of having to be perfect, having to please, listening to that critic. So I believe that sometimes that dark side that I like to call it, or that side that makes us embarrassed, that maybe we never want to share with someone, but we really want that thing, that's actually your path and your purpose. I mean, if I ever thought that I would be sharing the story of the dynamic with my mom and almost being wiped out by a truck and just all those things I put in that book, I never thought I would ever share that. And I never thought that that would be the gift that really makes me who I am and shows you that you can be in control and in charge of your own life. So I think it's A, being open to kind of what comes up for you as you allow yourself to dream, and then B, really looking at those kind of tough moments that make you who you are. Because I know for me it went from a lot of anger towards my upbringing and my parents to now gratitude, because I wouldn't be the kind of business owner and mom and wife that I am if I didn't have that kind of experience. So I think your purpose and your mission in life is a mix of the good dreams that we have and sometimes those really difficult tragedies or traumas or things that we overcome. That blended together, I believe, gives you your purpose and your mission if you're willing to use it and take action on it.
Yep, you know what? I totally agree with you, and I've seen it over and over again with all of these entrepreneurs who are authors that work with us. They combine that. It's like their whole life happens for them, and it becomes their purpose. And like you said, if you allow it to happen without that judgment that we so often place on ourselves, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you know, Lisa, I know that you work with clients, your clients, like I read in your introduction, with content marketing, course creation, website building, website, you know, enhancement, those kinds of things. Why are you so passionate about helping others in this way?
Yeah, you know, I think now more than ever, we need leaders in this world. And a lot of times, we look at leaders as, you know, those in politics or those with the most seniority, or again, we place that judgment that that leader can't be me. And I don't believe that at all. I think instead of looking to that person to the right and to the left to make change, I truly believe that's us with our stories and our concepts and our teachings and the things that we've overcome, helping others do that. And the best way that you can start a movement, start a community, that ripple effect, is getting online. Because there's no ceiling to how many people or lives you can touch and how many people you can help. You know, like you read in my bio, I'm so honored that I've been able to coach people in North America and UK and just kind of all over the world because I know that that's impacting multiple communities, multiple families. It's that ripple effect of their children and that next generation. And all it takes is that idea to go, this is what I know. This is how I can help people. And I want to get it out. And once you get it out online, you have no idea where it's going to go. I mean, if you listen to anybody that's had a successful TED Talk or, you know, a book, a lot of times people are like, I just did this for me, or I did this because I wanted to impact one person, and I had no idea it was going to become something so big. And that's where I'm really passionate about. We're all leaders. We all have a voice. We all can make change. And getting online with social media and your courses and your websites and all of that is one of the quickest ways that I believe you can do it. And that's why I'm so passionate to kind of disrupt that culture a little bit and change what we see the true leaders of this world really as.
I totally agree with you. We need more people to just step into their natural leadership abilities that they have. And online is a great way to be out there. I mean, everyone's online. You know, everybody's got a phone in their hands, checking things online, laptops, all that stuff, like tablets. We've got to be online if we want to make a huge difference in this world. So I agree with you. I love that you're helping people to do that. Now, let's talk about being online. What would you say is the number one mistake that entrepreneurs, that word always trips me, what is the number one mistake that entrepreneurs make when they want to be visible online?
Yes, they wait until it's perfect. They are, even in writing this book, I set myself a deadline where I'm like, I'm only going to edit it so many times, and then I'm going to give it off to the editor to do her thing and make it as great as she can make it. We wait until we build a bigger audience, or we have a bigger following, or we put something up and then we want everybody under the sun to comment on us and tell us if it's perfect or if we like it or we should change it. And that's just madness when you don't just kind of own it and go, you know what? This is the best of where I'm at. I'm going to put it out there, and this is where I'm going to start. Because if you never put it out and you're never visible, people don't know that you're the authority in that place when they think, oh, I need to lose weight, or I want to write a book, or I want to sell my house faster, or whatever you help people do. If you're not consistently putting out content, people don't create that link of you and how you can help them. So it doesn't have to be this perfectly produced, amazing, you know, worthy, Emmy-worthy performance to put it out there. Sometimes it's just having the courage to click record and put it out there, and at least you know what you're starting with. I think about, you know, my podcast that I put online. I started that not ever having an intro or an outro or a nice microphone. It took me a couple episodes to kind of realize, oh, that's what we do in the podcast world. We, you know, it sounds more professional and it looks more professional. I just had a message that I wanted to share, and I started putting it out there. So I think the biggest thing is that we worry that it's a done deal. Like, if we put something out and it doesn't go the way that we planned it to, we worry that people are going to remember and think we're this epic failure, and they don't. It's like you said, people have phones, they're online, they're being hit with so many messages that you just got to start and put out the best that you can, and know that you can always grow the production value. You can always grow your reach, but you have to start somewhere. So there's no better time than now to act on that idea and do it the best that you can.
I so agree with you. There's these words that keep going through my head that somebody told me so many years ago before I started doing my own talks and things like that. And they said, better done than perfect. And that just stayed with me. It's like, get it out there, girl. You know, just put it up. So that, I love that advice. That's perfect. Yep. Okay, so let's continue this conversation about online and offline programs. Okay, so people are building this content, these entrepreneurs building their business, building their content, like their websites, their coaching programs, courses, speeches, books, whatever it is. Would you say that there are any misconceptions or myths that people have about building these things online or even offline?
Yes, the biggest myth or the biggest thing that makes me go, oh, and I know I need to do some education with my clients is if you build it, they will come. People think, oh, I have a book. The masses are going to flock to it and I'm going to be a millionaire. Oh, I put out my course. I launched it once and all these people are going to buy it and I'm going to be made. Or I'm going to get on this podcast interview or I'm going to get on this TV thing and everybody's going to see it. And, you know, it's just going to be this one hit wonder kind of thing. And the bigger question that I always challenge people with once they built something or they have something or they're a part of something is, what are you going to do with it? And what do you want it to do for you? So a lot of times we miss that strategy piece of, okay, you have a book. Now, how are you going to use that? Okay, you got a course. How are you going to position that? And it's never a once and done kind of thing. It's everywhere you go, you're making people aware of how you can help them and what offerings you have. I mean, a lot of times people, they don't know how they can work with you because you never tell them the products and programs and services that you have. And you're not constantly putting it in things like your email subject or, you know, your email signature line or on your social media or on your LinkedIn. It's got to kind of be like part of your DNA. I almost tell people once you've got a course or a book, it's like you want everyone to know that that's there and you're constantly making people aware of it and offering it when the time or the opportunity is right. So I think it's a big myth, you know, oh, I have my website. I built it. Now they will come. And that's very rare that that happens. That's when, you know, the first brunt of the work is building it. And then the ongoing kind of brunt of the work is just always keeping it visible and giving that to people. So I think that's a huge myth that once you've got it made.
Yep. I totally agree with you. And as a publisher, we know that. A lot of people say, well, I have my book. But then they don't know what's next. So I love that you're addressing all of that because it makes so much difference. Okay, so let's continue with this. What can we do, Lisa, to keep content marketing simple and avoid going into overwhelm?
Content marketing is a beast. And especially when we talk about social media, people go, oh, my God, there are not enough hours in the day. How do I handle Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube and you know, how do I blog and podcast and do all these things? And I've had a few people ask me because I have several. I do have YouTube and podcasts and all the social media channels and blog and newsletters. And I tell them I picked one and I mastered it. And then I layered other things on top of it. And I layered it based on the focuses that I wanted to achieve either that quarter or that year in my business. So I never had a YouTube show or a podcast until I wanted to be a speaker. And I figured, well, if I'm going to be a speaker, then I better have ways that people can see and hear me speak. When I wanted to become an author and I was writing my very first book, I added a blog to my website because I thought I'd better get the practice in writing and start testing some concepts. So I always tell people, A, you have to know kind of what your focuses are. I went author first, then business strategist, then speaker. So know kind of that area that you're owning or that space, and then pick one avenue that you can consistently show up on. So maybe it's Facebook and Facebook Live. You're going to show up every day, a couple times a week. I mean, you kind of know what consistent is for you. But I literally just started with Facebook and Facebook Live. Then I added Instagram. Then I added LinkedIn. You know, pick one avenue and master it because it's not so much the content marketing piece. It's how consistent you're being at it is really what's going to show how you reach your people and people start creating you and the link of how you can help them with that. So know your niche, like know what you want to own, and then pick one piece of content and be really consistent at it.
Hmm. I love that. You know, what I really like, Lisa, is that you are helping us to make it simple. You know, you've given us some specific guidelines how to make it simple, how to get started, because that's why people don't get started sometimes. They think it's just too much. I don't know where to start. So I so appreciate mm-hmm. that. You know, here's one other quick question for you, Lisa, if you could just for a wrap up. You know, we talked about your title in the beginning about Stop That Critic Now. And I know that a lot of people, mm-hmm. as they're building their business or they're building their website, they have this critic in their head. What would you say to them if they've got this critic saying, you know, like, oh, who are you to do this or something like that? Mm-hmm. What would you say to them so that you can get them to that getting started stage?
Mm-hmm. You don't need that validation from other people or that internal critic. You don't need the validation to go and do what you were meant to do. You know, I don't read the comments online when people make comments on YouTube videos. And, you know, you're either a spectator or you're a player. And I believe when you are courageous enough to be a player, or if you've ever done any work of Brené Brown, she talks about being in the arena. You know, when you put yourself out there, people, it's like a free-for-all, and people will judge, and people will have opinions, and people literally won't like you for the way that you talk, the color of your eyes, the silliest things, but you're not there for them. You're there for yourself to spread your message. And more importantly, you're there for those people that need that message. And there are a lot more people out there that need that message than the people that want to criticize. So you don't need that validation. When you truly love what you do and know that's what you are meant to do, you just go do it. So don't worry about what other people are saying, what comments you're getting, if you're enough. You're already, if you've been through some stuff, like you talked about earlier, where you said we've all had trauma and tragedies and stories. If you've been through some stuff and you survived what you had, which is why you're here, then that you're already enough to be able to share and give and just be yourself. Because the whole thing about this authenticity book is that's it. It's beautiful when you can show up as yourself and you don't need anyone's validation or green light to go ahead and do that.
Awesome. I love that. I love what you just said. I'm sitting here like going, yay, and woohoo, and all that stuff, because that's exactly what it's about. You know, just you be you and put yourself out there, and I love that. So thank you so much, Lisa. You know, I know that from the information that you shared that people are going to want to be in touch with you, and they're going to want more of you. And I know you have a gift for our listeners, too. Would you please share that and let them know how they can reach out to you?
I do. I love brainstorming, brain dumping, strategy sessions with people. And I call it my 1 in 15, meaning that we get on together, whether it's Zoom or on the phone, we get on in 15 minutes and we bust that one roadblock that is holding you back from showing up, from being yourself, from sharing your gifts. It could be something as mindset. It could be technology. It could be content. It could be you don't know what social media channel to start with. So I would love to hop on with anyone that's stuck, that just needs that different perspective and different set of eyes and ears to come in and bust you out of that roadblock. So if you go to www.lisapezik.com, literally at the bottom of every single page, my homepage, all the subsequent pages, you can go on and sign up for a free strategy session. And that's the quickest way that I find we can get right in, get to what you need, and off we go. So I would love to do that with any listener that will find that valuable.
Wonderful. Well, Lisa, you know, I got to thank you. This has been a wonderful, you know, 20 or 25 minutes or however long it's been. This has been great sharing this time with you. I love the things that you had to say. People are really going to benefit from that. And I am really grateful to you, too, for being a part of this whole project. I love your story in the book, your tip in the ebook, this interview time today. And I know that you brought some colleagues into the project, too. And this has been great. I so appreciate you, Lisa. I can't even say it enough. So thank you so much.
thank you for allowing me to be a part of this and inviting me to do it. And it's so fun. As you said, you know, I'm bringing some friends and we're all going to launch party together and really spread our message together. And I'm so excited about what the rest of the year has to bring. And this book is a huge piece of it. So thank you for all that you do. And thank you for having me on this interview.
You are so welcome. And listeners, thank you, because you being here, you sharing your energy, and now you going out and sharing some of this information that you have learned from these interviews, sharing that information with people that you know will benefit from it is awesome. So, and you're helping other people to grow even as you grow yourself. And I also want to thank each of you for showing up in this world as you, your authentic self, that you that has born to be whoever you are and do whatever you're doing in this world, thank you for being that person. And be sure to buy this book, The Beauty of Authenticity, on launch day, which is May 22nd. When you buy that book on launch day from Amazon and come back with your Amazon receipt number to our website, you will be able to receive so many free gifts from our partners, awesome gifts, by the way, from our partners, from our authors, and you're going to love it. So you get the book plus all the gifts, really great. You will help to have more ease on your own journey of authenticity. So thank you all so much. Have a beautiful day, everybody. Bye for now.
Living from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we are.